This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
Hey, good Tuesday morning to you. Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio. And listen, maybe the beauty of football wasn't completely on display in terms of the modern game last night on Monday Night Football, but it really said a lot. And there are a lot of takeaways from last night's 14-10 victory by the Patriots over the Buffalo Bills in Buffalo. We're going to get to the things that we liked, didn't like about the way both teams played last night in those windy, windy conditions. But I think there are three takeaways, and we're going to kind of examine each one of them. I think three takeaways that you can get from this Monday Night Football game. I think one, the Patriots now are the favorites to win the AFC. Look around the AFC right now and name me a team that you would absolutely guarantee to beat them on their best day. You can't find one. They're not Kansas City, not Tennessee, not Baltimore, not the Buffalo Bills. Now, I know those were conditions that warranted a different style of play than the Patriots do during the regular season. But it is the flexibility of this football team to beat you any different way. They will beat you needing to throw the ball if they have to. They will beat you on defense. They will beat you like they did last night, where they run the ball and control it offense that way. But right now, look around the AFC. There is not another force right now that is playing on a level that you would guarantee to beat them. Kansas City may get there. Baltimore may get there, but not today. And that's the one takeaway out of it. The other one, Bill Belichick, we may have been thinking of this leading into the game last night, but I think it cemented it last night. He is coach of the year in the NFL. And number three, and this is the little tricky one, I think Josh McDaniels is going to be, there are going to be teams ready to break the bank to get Josh McDaniels to be their new head coach. He may not go because he has had opportunities before, interviewed in Indianapolis. He has interviewed in other places since taking the Denver Broncos head coaching job back in 2009. But nevertheless, make this clear, teams are going to want him again and they will break the bank for him. He'll probably stay in New England to become the heir apparent to Belichick, but teams are going to go after this guy hard again for round two of his head coaching career in the National Football League. We're going to dissect all of that. How did the Patriots do it? The inside the numbers of their 14-10 victory against the Buffalo Bills, where they ran, and ran some more against that Buffalo defense. It's all coming up. Tony D, Ron Culvert, his Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's, please, as we continue along on Wake Up Call. What a game last night. It wasn't the prettiest game, but it was one of those football games where it was trench warfare, you know, pound ground the ground, right? All of those things, those cliches, football weather in Buffalo, all of that.
Was it football weather?
But it was. I don't know if it was football weather.
Randy Moss didn't think so.
Well, it wasn't football weather. I know people like to say that about these things. I don't like football in these weather conditions. I don't like it when it's that bad. I don't mind a little snow. I don't mind a little cold. I don't like these. I'll tell you this. I've seen so many games in my life where weather has played a huge factor in the outcome of the game, right? And if you eliminated the weather conditions, the game would have been completely different. Like, think of the Fog Bowl between the Bears and the Eagles, for example. I know I've told this before. Back in, like, I think 2007, the Steelers played a very, very bad Miami Dolphins team in a torrential monsoon that made the ground soaked, so much so that punts were, like, sticking like golf balls on a soft green. Punts were just landing in the turf and just staying right there. And when you get those kind of weather conditions, what happens is the best team doesn't always win. It's just whoever had the lucky bounce or some sort of circumstance that allowed them to win the game. I think the Steelers won that game against the Dolphins 3-0 just because they were able to kick a field goal and the Dolphins weren't. That was it. I mean, had the Dolphins got a lucky bounce or a turnover, I mean, they would have upset a very good Steelers team that year. So a lot of times these games that are played in these kind of conditions, it's always like which team got lucky, rather than which team beat team. But last night wasn't that case because Bill Belichick went to a complete, and Josh McDaniels too, went to a complete offensive game plan that favored them in a game like this by running the ball 46 times and only attempting three passes. I've been watching NFL games since the late 70s, since I was a little kid. I've never seen a game like that last night. I've never seen it. Now, if you said to me, hey, what about this? I'll probably go, well, I didn't watch that one. But I've never seen a game like that where a team was that committed to running the football.
I mean, after a while, it's one of those things like for Buffalo, they should have kind of figured the pattern out, right?
Right.
Don't you think? Right. Like after a while, you sit there and like, are they going to pass on this? They're going to pass here. No, they didn't pass. They just keep playing that game with them. They were probably just stymied.
I had to check the drive chart this morning in prepping for the show today. And so the Patriots, the drive chart is this. The Patriots had 9 drives that were significant, right?
Yeah.
They had the kneel down, but I'm not going to count that. So they had 9 drives. In those 9 drives, they punted the ball 6 times, okay? And in 4 of those 9 drives, nearly half, they went 3 and out. And yet, at no point did they feel the urgency to throw the football. They had Mac Jones throw a pass to Jonnu Smith in the first half that was over Jonnu Smith's head and got caught in the wind. They were going against the wind, and it kind of ballooned in the air. Smith reached up, touched it, fell. As he was falling down, he was able to catch it and reel it in.
Great catch.
That was it. That was it. Belichick said, no, you're not throwing any more in this half. At all. Then threw a screen pass, and that was it. 2 completions. That's all he had. That's all they needed. 3rd and 5, ran the ball. 3rd and 6, ran the ball. 3rd and 4, ran the ball. You're right. At any point in this game, there were plenty of times where you thought, surely they're going to pass here. Surely, with the wind at their back, they're going to throw here. And yet, they did not do that. They just kept – and listen, it wasn't as if – again, they had 222 yards on the ground in this game, and that's a very successful running game. But it's 46 carries, an average of less than 5 yards a carry, and one of those was a 64-yard run. So for the most part, they were just getting a handful of yards.
Yeah.
It wasn't as if they were getting those 5 yards per carry. They were getting a handful of yards and then just, keeping the drive going with running, and then send the punter out when the time came to send the punter out.
And it wasn't the other thing I noticed too. It wasn't like when they were on the field, they were chewing a bunch of clock.
Right. They didn't have like a 15 play, 10 minute drive all on the ground.
They didn't do any of it. I mean, it was, if you're the Bills, your defensive coordinator and the whole defensive staff, you guys have to have a serious talk.
Seriously, without question, they have to do that. Were they waiting for the trick play? Were they always on the defensive of, well, when he does throw, we're not going to stack 9 in the box here.
We'll be waiting for it.
Right? Like, we're just going to be waiting for him to throw. Like, the scouting report should have said, look, our guy can cut through the wind like a knife. Our guy has the arm strength to rip through the wind. That's why Josh Allen threw 30 times in a game in which the opposition felt like they should only throw it 3. Because Josh Allen's arm strength gives you an opportunity. He can cut through the wind. He only completed 15 passes for 145 yards, but they believed in his arm strength enough to have him throw through
well,
in the wind.
It was
Patriots, at what point did the Bills go, Mac Jones cannot throw in this weather?
Well, to me, it almost seemed like, they were trusting his arm strength, but they weren't making the adjustments either. It's like, this is the game plan that we have, whether it's,
right,
50-mile-per-hour wind gusts or, a bright sunny day down in Miami.
Yeah, why were you sticking to a 30-25 pass-run game plan, right? A little over 50% of your offensive plays are throwing the ball in a wind condition. Again, I get it. Buffalo is used to that, but that's the first real winter weather we've had this season.
I mean, they're not. Like, I don't think you can be used to that.
You can't bring in wind tunnels in practice when the wind is not doing that off of the lake.
Because you remember some of those balls that they were just kind of floating there.
Yeah.
Like, even that final pass, that ball wasn't going to reach him. That ball was dying quickly.
Missed a field goal where it was hooking. I mean, it was crazy. The opening kickoff went into the stands for crying out loud. The announcers were talking about how they were getting blown over when they went out on the field. Like, listen, we've seen weather conditions like this before, but at the same time, listen, and again, before you say, oh, well, Tony, look at the weather. Look at the Patriots. That's right. You run the ball in weather like that. How many games have you seen like that in your lifetime? I've seen a bunch, and I haven't seen a quarterback throw three times.
No. In fact, you haven't seen that since the 70s.
Right. Exactly.
Because they kept throwing that stat up after the game.
Even in the 1978 snow game between the Patriots and the Dolphins with the snow plow. It's called the snow plow game. There's a snow plow guy came out. And John Smith kicked a field goal for the Patriots, where the plower plowed the field. That was the quarterback for the Patriots that game threw eight times, right? I mean, we are in a modern NFL where we throw the ball more, and this is a throwback to the 50s for crying out loud. But this is the overall point. We're going to elaborate on this a little bit. So I gave you three takeaways of this game last night. One, I think Bill Belichick is coach of the year. I mean, we probably thought that before, but we're now absolutely going to nail it. Because even as good as Cliff Kingsbury's doing, as good as, I don't know, Mike Vrabel is doing, I don't care. This guy with a rookie quarterback is one of the top records in the league right now. The second thing is Josh McDaniels is once again going to be the hottest quarterback name in the NFL this offseason, and a team is going to break the bank to bring him. I don't know if he leaves, but once again, we're going to go through the Josh McDaniels ready for the second act of his career, where he was a head coach of the Broncos, and that didn't work out, but he was like 33 years old at the time. Now he's more mature, and now he can, you know, go at it again with a different approach. But the third thing, and this is what we're going to talk about coming up next, right now, name me a team that you would say Patriots would have a lot of work to do to beat that team in the NFL. AFC, I don't think there's anybody. NFL, maybe the Packers. But right now, would you believe enough in what Bill Belichick would be willing to do with that defense and Josh McDaniels willing to do with that offense against any team in the National Football League? And that's the scary prospect, because once again, this team is in our lives as a Super Bowl favorite. All right, we're going to talk about that when we come up. On Twitter, again, your thoughts on this one, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with two N's. Good morning, it's Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue to Sports Map Radio, responding to last night's Monday Night Football game. Have a car problem but don't know where to go? Maybe you're on a road trip when your car breaks down. Let O'Reilly Auto Parts help. With O'Reilly Auto Parts, shop before a program. Take the guesswork out of finding a great shop wherever you are. Call an O'Reilly location near you or visit O'ReillyAuto.com and click Find a Repair Shop to find a reputable repair facility or service center for your repairs. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. So again, the takeaways last night, one of them is the Patriots and where they are right now in the NFL. We have top five, bottom five coming up, so, you know, later on in this show. So you'll have to wait and see where Ron and I put the New England Patriots. But I think this is the takeaway. Is look at the way the AFC is right now, right? And we've been saying this before. The Patriots for 20 years were sort of the team that we looked at, and every team in that conference had to judge themselves by the Patriots. You had to build your team whether you could beat the Patriots or not, right? You went into the draft trying to fix things that would help you beat the Patriots. And then Kansas City sort of took that over for a bit. Now, this year's Kansas City Chiefs has less Patrick Mahomes and a lot more defense now, and a quarterback that doesn't have to do everything. Like, he doesn't have to come back from a 24-0 deficit or down two touchdowns or whatever it is. He can work within what his defense is giving him, right? Just keep the game in front of you, et cetera. So they're not as dominant, or they don't appear to be as dominant. But when you look at a team like the Titans or Buffalo or Baltimore, there's no team in the AFC right now that you would say, well, the Patriots have this and this and this to do in order to be on the level of this team. The Patriots might be that team right now. I do think the Patriots are sort of in the mix, but there's no team in the AFC that you would say, well, hold on. Like, and we've done that for, again, 20 years, 20 plus years, where any team, and I know because I'm a Steeler fan, and anytime I felt good about what the Steelers were putting on the field, whether it was Ben Roethlisberger chucking it all over the field or the defense was outstanding or whatever element to the Steelers' play, always the detractors always said, hey, come playoff time, it's going to be New England again. Even Denver, Peyton Manning, right? Peyton Manning and the Broncos, same kind of thing. Well, you'll be meeting the Patriots in January. Let's see where that goes. And sometimes Denver would win that game, right? And one, they did as they went on to the Super Bowl. So to me, it has always been about a team in the AFC, whether it was for a long time, the Patriots, a brief maybe period of time, Denver, but not really quite there, and then Kansas City. We don't have that right now. And it's wide open. And the Patriots are as good as any other bet in the AFC of going to the Super Bowl after a game like this. Michael on Twitter, Bill Belichick is the most patient coach waiting for the opposition to beat themselves. Completely true. And that leads to the other point. This team, like no other team, I should even say team, to be honest with you. I should say coach, adapts better than anybody else. And you know why? Think about this, Ron, for a second. What in the 20 years, like just not player, so don't, the answer is not Brady. What is the identifying thing that the Patriots do or have done in the last 20 years?
Yeah.
It is easy to ride a Peyton Manning and then transition to a better defense. It is easy to ride a Patrick Mahomes, but that window is short. The Patriots have won Super Bowls where the defense was the defining thing. The offense was the defining thing. A running game, no running game, passing, whatever it takes.
Listen, we've had a lot of fun this season talking about Dan Campbell.
Right.
As being like the face of the Lions. Because the Lions, you know, we don't know anybody on the Lions outside of Jared Goff. So, you know, we love Dan Campbell. It's like he's the face of the Lions. He's the heart and soul of the Lions. Bill Belichick is the Patriots.
Completely.
You know, that's how we look at the Patriots. We can't, you know, yeah, you know, Tom Brady had a lot of success, but we've said it all along. I don't think the success comes without Belichick. I think if Brady's on another team, yeah, he's going to have a decent career. I think he was meant to be a star quarterback in the NFL, but I don't think he is at the upper echelon he is now without Belichick.
Look at Super Bowl 53, right? That was a Sean McVay offense.
Yeah.
And he developed a game plan. He switched his defense up for that Super Bowl that confused the hell out of the offense of the LA Rams.
And
completely switched it up. So the Rams were, and Jared Goff, they were seeing something they didn't see on film.
And it's everywhere. I mean, yeah. you could point that to every single game he's ever played. He's never played the same game twice.
And think again, go back to that game last night. It's windy. But he's played in those kind of conditions. He's smart. He knows this. He knew last night, and Josh McDaniels did too. Because I'm going to give Josh McDaniels in the same level of credit for this game plan. I can't stress enough how hard it must have been to commit to what they were doing. Because, and I'll say this over and over again, this was not something where success led to success. 4 3-and-outs and 6 punts on 9 possessions, and you still go, we're not throwing the ball.
Yeah.
We're not doing it. Just send the punter out. We're not throwing the ball. This game is going to be won with our defense and the fact that we've got enough points. Right? We got our touchdown. We got our big touchdown.
And
we
who
went for two.
That
we
way?
Got it.
Who
got,
is...
got 2 field goals on the board. That's all we need.
Name me a team that is confident in themselves that, yeah, we got 11 points. We're okay.
We're good.
We're good.
Right.
No, maybe we'll get a field goal later. But right now, 11, that'll win the game for us. No one. I mean, it's the most backward thinking. I mean, we always say, like, you know, 20 points, I could get you a victory. 30 points definitely should get you a victory. Patriots like, yeah, 11.
I know that guys like us, the talking heads, are going to have a blast. And I'm putting the cart way before the horse, folks. I get it. But if this guy takes this team and that quarterback to the Super Bowl and they win the Super Bowl, we're going to have a lot of debates about which guy got that Super Bowl on their own in a better circumstance.
Yeah.
Brady going to Tampa, a loaded team, but still an older quarterback, brand new, right out of the gate, Super Bowl, right out of the gate. When no one thought that team would everyone went, it'll take a year or two, but right out of the gate, they win the title, right? From wild card team to Super Bowl champion. But if Belichick wins the Super Bowl with this team and that rookie quarterback, we're going to have that same conversation and we'll be back to Brady versus Belichick again.
Yep.
Because that's what this was. This team was 2-4 and an afterthought. A team that was going to struggle with a rookie quarterback and, okay, they'll win a few games. Maybe with an extra wild card team, they might squeeze in. Who knows? They are now the best team in the AFC.
And possibly the NFL.
And possibly the NFL. With what that guy can do, just and what he's willing to do, and how he's willing to be versatile against what you do best.
And that's more it. It's not what he can do. It's what he's willing to do. What he's willing to sacrifice.
Yeah.
I mean, to go out there and just the game plan. I don't even know if that was the game plan initially. Maybe it was just, and it's probably something he adjusted along the way. But, God, 3 pass attempts. That's it.
And here's the other thing. On the other side of the ball, he's watching their offense chuck it 30 times.
Yeah.
Knowing if that guy connects on one of these, this could be a different ball game. Right? I mean, like, what if Josh Allen chucks it? And a guy breaks free for a touchdown. And all of a sudden we're tied or whatever it is. Or it's a close game. He stood by that decision to not let his rookie throw a ball in those kind of conditions and said, we will win this on the ground and we will pound this thing out and we will punt when we have to and we will keep doing this until the ball game is won and it is in our hands. And I think – when you talk about a league, and I've said this many times, you talk about a league where some of these coaches are gutless, absolutely gutless when they punt on 4th and inches, when they don't go for it and kick field goals when they're down by 2 touchdowns, all to prevent staring at their fan base because they got shut out or whatever it is. I have seen week after week after week decisions where coaches are just succumb to the pressure of just doing something, right? Just being afraid to fail or to look even worse than the team is already looking. And he could have lost that game last night with this strategy. He absolutely could have lost that game last night with this strategy. If Allen connects on 2 or 3 really big passes, he may have had to change his game plan and it may not have worked. Right?
He had that much faith in his defense, and he just waited. I mean,
could have lost it at the end. Could have lost it at the end of the game on that 4th down. What if Allen had connected and kept it going?
I love Michael's tweet that, you know, he just waited for the other team to kind of shoot themselves. What it reminded me of is Iceman from Top Gun, Val Kilmer's character. Like, he just does everything by the book, and he waits for you to make a dumb mistake, and then he's
got
you.
That's right. And I mean, I this is the 3rd time I've said this. 9 drives, 6 punts, and he did not care. 4 3-and-outs and did not care. Did not care.
He never felt that sense of urgency, like, we got to move this ball down the field quickly.
Nope. And name me one time in that game where they felt like, oh, crap, we really need a 1st down here. He's like, no, that's all right. Now, punting unit, off you go.
Yep.
We'll get the ball back, and we'll try this again.
Stop you with my defense.
I'll stop you with my defense, right? And listen, you can credit Damian Harris, 111 yards on the ground on 10 carries, right? You can credit, Brandon Bolden, right? Ramondre Stevenson. But you know who deserves all the credit in the world? That offensive line, because that is not easy to do when your team is running the ball 46 times. It is not easy to do. There's a difference between pass blocking and run blocking, and those guys on that offensive line earned every single Rolex watch they're going to be getting or expensive luggage or trips to Hawaii or whatever it is the high-paid offensive guys are going to give them.
Well, the best thing about it,
too. And name me the high-paid offensive guy on this team.
Yeah, the best thing about it, too, is that they took this win. They took the top. They're the number one seed going into their bye week.
Yep.
So everyone gets a break now. It's like, hey, you just, you know, those guys in the trenches, just work your little tail off, and then I'll give you a few days off.
All right. When we come back, one of the things last night about Josh McDaniels, will he go for round 2 as a head coaching job? Well, I remember the first go around. I was in Denver. I'll tell you the difference next as we continue with the Wake Up Call.
listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with two N's, still discussing Monday Night Football last night and a couple of the takeaways that I had from this game. Bill Belichick will win Coach of the Year now. The Patriots are the Patriots are one of the Super Bowl favorites out of the AFC. I mean, this was just an incredible performance by a team committed to running the football. But the third thing is, once again, we're going to hear Josh McDaniels' name in this offseason as a head coach somewhere, and some team is going to want to break the bank to bring him aboard. I remember when he was hired as the head coach of the Denver Broncos back in 2009, and it was marred with a lot of controversy. But what wasn't controversial back in 2009 was that the Denver Broncos made the absolute right choice in Josh McDaniels to be their head coach. This guy was red hot as the name that you would want to land. And what I still believe, and I know if some of my friends in Denver disagree with me, we've kind of had a little jarred about it. I believe that the Broncos fired Mike Shanahan because Shanahan had three consecutive seasons of blah, nothing, 8-8, you know, terrible team. I believe that they fired Mike Shanahan, whom Pat Bowlen said would be the coach for life after he won those two Super Bowls, because they knew they could get Josh McDaniels. I'll go to my grave believing that. I know some people say, well, inside there was a debate and blah, blah, blah. I don't care. I think they thought that they could get McDaniels. He was the hottest name. Everybody wanted him, and the Broncos could get him, and they had to let go of Mike Shanahan in order to do that. And when McDaniels came in back in 2009, he kind of had a Napoleon complex. I mean, he wanted the same things Mike Shanahan took years and years and years to earn. Mike Shanahan ran that team. All right, general manager, coach, everything, personnel, everything. He ran that team. And while there was a GM sort of, you know, in the background, it was really Mike Shanahan's show. That was it. And McDaniels wanted all of that. He saw it from Bill Belichick. And at 32, 33 years old, he felt like he earned that. But you don't go into a new team and a new fan base and a new town wanting what the last guy earned, really, you know, delivered two Super Bowls in order to get sort of that trust within the organization. But nevertheless, the 2009 season started great. They went 6-0 to start the season. And then the wheels came off a little bit, and they finished 8-8 and didn't make the playoffs. It was 2010 that really opened up a lot of people's eyes. 2010, he drafted in the first round Tim Tebow. Now, I know I've told many times, I actually predicted that Tim Tebow would go. It was one of the few things I got right, that I predicted Tim Tebow would go in the first round. But I thought it would be like a Belichick late pick Patriots kind of thing, you know, somebody taking a chance. But it was Denver. It was their second pick of the draft. They took Tim Tebow. It was Denver. It was McDaniels. So I wasn't that far off. It was a Patriot-minded guy. But the reason I said afterwards, it was like, I remember thinking, this is the arrogance of Josh McDaniels, right? When everybody said no, he'll say yes. When everybody says, no, he can't make it in this league, McDaniel's like, no, he can make it in this league. And I'm going to take him. Well, the marriage really didn't last very long, because in the 2010 season, he got fired. But one of the big mistakes McDaniels made earlier in his time in Denver was that Jay Cutler was the quarterback. Now, Jay Cutler was Mike Shanahan's guy. Jay Cutler from Vanderbilt wowed Shanahan with his arm. Jay Cutler had one of the strongest arms I've ever seen, the way he cut through the air with that ball, right? And Shanahan loved it because he had Elway, even in the latter part of his career, Elway could really still zing it. And he loved that this kid could. He could zing it a lot better than Jake Plummer could. And McDaniels wanted to trade him and wanted to bring in Matt Cassel, who he led to an 11-5 record when Brady was hurt in week one. And that was, it drove everybody crazy, because Jay Cutler was going to be the next big Bronco quarterback. And under McDaniels, there was this feeling in the fan base that this was a marriage made in heaven, that you had a guy with that kind of arm and you're going to get rid of him for Matt Cassel just because you guys did good things in the Patriots. Well, Cutler said, that's it. I want out. I'm not playing for this guy. He already tried to trade me. So they did. They traded him to the Bears. They couldn't land Matt Cassel. Cassel went to the Chiefs, and they got in Kyle Orton. And really, it just didn't work out. But one of the things that McDaniels did in Denver was copying his old team. They filmed the San Francisco 49ers in a walkthrough in London, and that was embarrassing enough for the organization that they let McDaniels go. And he wasn't out of the game for very much longer after that, right? He went right back into the Rams. He returned to the Patriots. And now, again, this offseason, he's going to be yet another high-profile, must-have coach for an organization. Now, do I think he'll leave the Patriots? No. I really believe he is waiting for Belichick to turn that over, and he will get that job.
Yeah.
I think it's very similar to what Will Muschamp did at Texas for years and years before finally he went, screw it, Mac Brown ain't leaving, I got to go. But I think he's more patient. He's 45 years old. He's got a lot of time. He's already done this head coaching thing once. He's very highly paid. He's within a great organization. He likes that region of the country. He likes, you know, Robert Kraft. There's a lot of things, you know, the grass isn't always greener because they pay you more money. I bet we all know people who have left jobs for more money who are more miserable today than they were 5 years ago, right? Or 3 years ago or 2 years ago before they took that job. They have less time with their kids. You know, the money, they bought a bigger house and the money, you know, gets used up and the extra money gets used up. You know, all sorts of reasons why. But the grass isn't always greener because they pay you more cash. And I think he noticed that when he went to Denver. I really do. I think when you're in within an organization and you have everything, like you have you can't go anywhere within that, in that region of the country, New England, and everybody knows who you are and you're the offensive coordinator, right? Like everybody knows the Patriots are winning Super Bowls. They're on top of the league. You're part of this amazing Belichick coaching tree, right? You're never paying for a meal. You're never paying for drinks. People are clapping when you walk into restaurants. And then you go to Denver, and while you're winning games, and then when the losing starts, everyone is like, fire this guy. He's an embarrassment. He's too immature and all of that. You're like, screw it. Let me go back to where I'm loved. And he went back for a second act and got loved again. Last night, I think it was one of his greatest offensive play calling that he's ever had with what he did last night, staying committed to that run game throughout that game. And this is a guy, again, goes back to the Patriots and they start winning Super Bowls. So, I'm with you. I think he just stays in New England, but boy, oh boy, he'll be flown around. He'll be flown around to every head coaching vacancy that's out there. And they'll offer him $8, $9, $10, whatever, $12 million a year, whatever coaches are getting.
Do you think he goes to Bill or Bill goes to him and says, hey, man, take the wine and dine tour?
You know? Oh, yeah, I think he does. Yeah, I think Bill will encourage him to do that.
Go see what's out there.
See what's out there.
But don't, you know, just make sure
you
come back.
Remember, Belichick gave him this report. When he was like, before he went to Denver, he got like this report from Belichick that was like, here's how you run a football team. Like Belichick has guided him to be a head coach. I think he's guiding him to be the head coach of the New England Patriots, but he's been guiding him to be a head coach. But I think he does. I think he says, listen, man, take it. They're giving it to you. Take the private jet. Take the steak and lobster dinners.
Wait, go. NFL teams have private jets?
Yeah. You know, go do it. Go live it up. Be like the NBA guys, man. How many NBA free agents know they're going to sign with their team?
Yeah.
Because the way the NBA's work, you get more money if you stay and still take the tour because it's an ego boost. Do it. Go out there and enjoy it. And then when you come back, we'll get to work. Yeah. When you turn them all down.
And give us a moment to speculate that, oh my God, he met with the Atlanta Falcons. He's right. Going. It's, you know, he's going to revive the Falcons. Sorry, yeah. Falcons. I didn't mean to love him with the Patriots again.
Do you think, though, I mean, listen, I saw an ego when I in the interactions as a press member in Denver. I saw the ego. But people, you know, time does mature you. Listen, I'll be honest with you. I am embarrassed at some of the ways I've acted younger in my career when I had success and whatnot early in my career. It's like, it does go to your head sometimes, right? You know, and that's infinitesimal. That's small compared to the ego of a football coach that you can get from a fan base, right? I wonder as he's matured, though, he looks back on his Denver time and go, man, I did 500 things wrong that I would not do again.
Yeah, I did Denver dirty.
I just, you know what? I was too young, too much power. I demanded too many things. I felt like I acted without any sort of feeling like the rules applied to me. I alienated too many people. The hubris of filming. I mean, think about that for a second. The hubris of a Patriot coach, a Patriot assistant coach becoming a head coach and filming a walkthrough, an illegal walkthrough, what, 3 or 4 years after Spygate? And he thought nobody would find out. Right? I mean, it was like head shaking. But I think he's matured enough now where he's probably looking back going, yeah, I was young and stupid. I mean, we all should say that, right? Every one of us should say that.
Oh,
no matter what field
you're
in. We all are young. We were all young and stupid. Of course we were, right? You know, I remember having a talk with my son about this on one of my visits down in college. And I said, man, do you remember when you were in Little League? I acted really stupid then. Or when you did this, I acted really dumb then. I haven't always been acting in as the best dad possible. But you learn from those mistakes and you grow out of those. And that was kind of my life lesson to him. Like, don't look back and say, you know, don't live in embarrassment, because we all have grown and matured. And I think McDaniels probably has that too now at 45 years old. But you guys are going to have to get used to it, because he's going around again. He's going to go around again.
He's going to be at the top of every list.
Every list.
Any coach that has an open vacancy, you're going to hear the name Josh. I mean, it could be like Chicago.
Yep.
Right? I mean, who knows if Matt Nagy lasts this season. That'll probably be one of the first names you hear.
And listen, McDaniels. Is he turning Mac Jones into a Pro Bowl quarterback? No. But you know what he's doing? He's patient enough with Mac Jones to maybe one day develop him into a Pro Bowl quarterback. But here's the big key. He is utilizing Mac Jones in the best way Mac Jones can be utilized in this offense. That's the key. He's not forcing him to do everything. He's not saying, you got to go out there and throw 4 or 5 touchdowns. If the game dictates that you can, we will let you do that. But the game right now is not, our whole offense isn't predicated on you doing things that maybe right now you can't do in the NFL.
And that's
another
thing,
as he gets better, he will get better.
That's the other thing, too, that, you know, really got to harp on as well, is that the players all bought into this.
Absolutely.
That alone is amazing. If you're sitting there, if you're the Patriots, if you're on offense, you're like, God, we'll just keep running the ball. I mean, the receivers, you can see a receiver getting disgruntled.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we saw it between Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs a couple times. Stephon Diggs was getting upset because, like, the ball went to the wrong side of me. What do you want me to do?
I wish I could find the Patriot player. I was reading this morning, one of the Patriot players joked to the media. He said it was a real team effort out there today. Well, everyone except Mac. And it was kind of a joke. But that's, you know, that's just kind of funny, right? But again, hand the ball off, kid. Hand the ball off, kid. Keep doing it. Just keep doing it. Just don't fumble the snap. Hand the ball off, and we're going to win this game. And we don't need you to do anything. But the next game, we may need you to do more. The next game after that, a little less. The next game after that, a little more. Like, it does, whatever it is, they've got Mac Jones in a way that he could develop properly, and they're winning games, in a way that makes him a Super Bowl favorite out of the AFC. I mean, all of those things have made Belichick and McDaniels, this is one really special year when they've had a ton of special years. That's what's so baffling. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with 2 N's. We continue. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, this hour of Wake Up Call, presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need a mortgage that fits your life, Rocket can. But I can't think, we've been doing this show for 3 years, so I want to say 3 NFL seasons.
All right.
I think we've been doing three NFL seasons. Yeah, I can't think of a Monday night game. Maybe Chiefs-Rams that we talked about elements of that game for the first hour of the show.
Yeah.
Most of the time, it's Monday Night Football. Yeah, the entire hour. Most of the time, it's Monday Night Football. It's a game. It's not always the biggest game. It doesn't always warrant a long conversation. It doesn't really have – some of these games, Monday Night games, have no significant meaning in terms of a larger story than the game itself. I just felt like this one did. I really do. I really felt like this was, on both sides, the kind of game that if you're a Patriot fan and you're going into a bye week off a win like that, enjoy the next 2 weeks, man.
Yeah, well, I mean,
enjoy it.
If this game was like a normal win. You know, passing and rushing attempts were about even, or, you know, maybe slightly skewed one way or another, and it ended up 14-10 like the final score was. You know, maybe we go like a segment, maybe two. Yeah. But the fact is that it really we need to talk about it because it was the brilliance of Belichick and McDaniels to sit there and go, yeah, let's just pass it three times.
And I do think there's a flip side. I think there's a flip side to the Buffalo team where all of a sudden now a team that wasn't that long ago we were talking to, Caputo? What was his name? Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio
out in Buffalo, where we said, look, this was a Bills team that lost the AFC title game to Kansas City. They went to Arrowhead and beat the Chiefs. It's early in the season, but is there a sort of a mental hurdle? Yeah, there was. There was on the plane. There was a feeling like we slayed that dragon, right? They went to Tennessee and lost to the Titans, but Josh Allen slips. But did they ever think, ever at all, that there would be a car, five or six cars behind them in the Patriots that is just in their draft and gunning for them and is now making a pass on the outside? I didn't think they'd think in December that that was happening.